Hi, David. Glad you showed up.
That's awesome.
Everybody's on vacation. I think the Pipers went to Mexico and Larry went to Louisiana. So everybody's gone. Everybody's gone today. All right, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, that you have done everything for us, in us and through us, and we haven't done a thing. We just entered into your rest, your peace, your righteousness, your joy. It's all from you, Lord. So everything we have in this world and in the life to come is just a gift, just a sheer gift. We haven't earned it. We haven't paid for it. We haven't done anything, but you've done it for us. We thank you for that, God, and we thank you that's good because we couldn't do it. We couldn't keep the law. We couldn't be good. We couldn't do anything. Couldn't even believe in you or trust in you. But you did that for us, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we love you today. We thank you that your peace that passes all understanding will rule and reign in our lives today. Because you said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. It's not a peace you can see. It's something inside. It's the kingdom of God is within us. And so we thank you for that, Father, that we have peace and joy unspeakable and full of glory today, right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Don't ever postpone what God has done. Just read it and believe it. So God has done great things in our lives, in the church. And today I want to talk about the cost, or not the cost maybe, but the way you become a disciple. A lot of people, including this church, a lot of us, we do not want to, we want to be a Christian. Everybody wants to go to heaven someday, but they don't want to be a disciple. Disciple's way different. Being a Christian is being born again is just the beginning. It's just the first thing that you do. I remember when I got saved, 35 years ago, and I read Matthew, and it said in there something about Jesus says something about if you want to be my disciple, you take up your cross and follow me, and you have to hate mother and brother and sister, and it seemed a little extreme. Everything in the Bible is very extreme. That's what I love about the Bible, because it doesn't cater to your flesh. What is that? Is that me? Anyway, so God is good. Turn to Philippians. I wanted to read about Paul. Everybody knows about Paul. He was definitely a disciple of the Lord. He even said he was. Paul, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul was a disciple, and he had a lot going for him even before he had his experience on his way to Damascus, where he got knocked off his high horse and God called him. And in verse 1, it says, finally, my this is Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord. You always rejoice. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. So Paul, Peter, all disciples, they always repeated everything over. And if you notice in the Bible, if you read your Bible, everybody should read their Bible, everything's repeated. Different story, same message. Different story, same message. It's always the same. There's nothing new under the sun. And that gives us hope. It gives us peace. It gives us joy. It gives us rest. So Paul's going to remind them. He says, beware of dogs. Not real dogs. These are different kind of dogs. Beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You can never, ever, ever. Now, before man you can, but not before God. You can never boast in your flesh. Your flesh is, if you're boasting in the flesh, you're rebellious and you're wicked, you're evil, because you have nothing to boast in. When Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, that ended all boasting. You can't boast in the flesh. You can't boast in the fact that you're smart or you're rich or you're, I don't know, whatever. If you have a gift, like Titus was saying, he has a gift to play the piano. But God has a way of humbling us when we boast. Those that boast, boast in the Lord. That's it. You have nothing else to boast in. Nothing, 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 nothing. There's nothing to boast in. Only in God. Those that glory, let them glory in the Lord. The word there in the Greek actually means boast, to boast. So all of our boasting, all of our glory, all of our praise goes to God. Okay, so he has no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath there, he might trust in the flesh. I more. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things, all things, all things, all things, it says all things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Dung is actually more translated of, it's like a scrap you would throw to a dog. It's nothing. It's just something you just throw away. You discard it. It's like refuge. So that's pretty much all of our excellence is that. Remember Jesus said, or the Bible says that your righteousness is as filthy rags. Boy, that should give you hope that God's righteousness is just a free gift. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as I've already attained, either was already perfect, but I follow after it that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the high prize, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, mature, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this to you. Nevertheless, whereunto ye have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together with me, and mark those who walk so as ye have for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and I tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. Our conduct, our conversation is in heaven. On earth, as it is in heaven. That's our life. The things in this world you see, you can touch, you can feel, you can see, those things are all temporal. The only things that are lasting, that are eternal, are things that aren't seen. You cannot see, literally see, the kingdom of God. You can't see it. But by faith, we believe it. And then we have fellowship with one another, and sometimes we experience the presence of God, and we actually do a good work, and all the glory and all the praise go to God. Right? Because without him, we can do nothing. With him, we can do all things. But we can do all things. Whatever God has called you to do, whatever the Bible has called you to do, you can do it. I'm serious, you can do it. If it says rejoice in the Lord always, you can rejoice in the Lord always. If it says to love your wife as Christ loved the church, you can do that. If God calls you, if Jesus called you, which he has, he called all of us to be disciples, not just a believer. A disciple and a believer are two different things. Christian that who's just born again, they're just kicking the tires, trying to, they just want to go to heaven one day and avoid hell. But a disciple, that's different. That's somebody who wants to actually follow Jesus. And it's interesting in Luke, in the book of Luke, it talks about, where is that at? In Luke 14:33, he said, if you want to be my disciples, then you're going to have to lose your life. If you want to be my disciple, you got to hate mother, brother, sister, things in this world, and come follow me. Then take up your cross and come follow me. And Peter asked him, he goes, but God, we've done all that. Have you ever noticed when God called the disciples, they were mending the nets or they were working their job order, and they just threw it down and followed Jesus? Sure as their parents were pretty upset that they just left. You know, who's going to do all the work now? But anyway, they just did. They just forsook all and followed Jesus. And I remember when I got saved, just by sheer accident, that's what I did. Because I was Catholic, and I thought, okay, I'm a Christian now. What do I got to do? So I read those verses, you know, especially in the Gospels, about forsaking all and all that. So I just got rid of everything. Literally, I got rid of everything. People, stuff, everything. Everybody hated me anyway, so that wasn't that hard. I'm not saying it was hard. But God asked, Peter goes, Jesus, we've forsaken all. What are we going to get? He had a question. I mean, don't you want to know? If you forsake all to follow Jesus and become his disciple, then you want to know what you're going to get, right? You want to know the benefit of it. But God said, okay. Jesus said, okay, you guys, the 12 of you are going to sit on the throne, and you're going to judge Israel. So you're going to be the top guys, the top. Not the Pharisees, not the head, you know, rabbi or anybody. It's not those guys. It's the disciples. And they were just fishermen and tax collectors and, you know, stuff like that. They're just ordinary people. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, right? That's why he chose you, because you're the foolish of the world. So anyway, they're going to get that, and plus a hundredfold. Not only, if you get Jesus Christ, he freely gives you all things, so you get everything back. I remember when I got saved, I had a girlfriend. I wasn't even a Christian at the time, but I got rid of her because I thought, well, you know, she's not a Christian. And I witnessed to her, and she laughed, you know, she cried and laughed at me and all that. So I thought, oh, this is not going to work out. So that was over. And I've kind of told you guys the story before. My mom and dad thought I was in a cult, and all my friends were disappointed that I didn't go drink beer with them anymore and do stuff like that. So I pretty much was by myself, except for Larry. But Larry was in Houston at the time. You know, Larry that does the announcements. So I was pretty much by myself, except for the guy that led me to the Lord. He was a Baptist, and he wasn't much help. Not that Baptists aren't help, I'm just saying. This wasn't working out good for me as far as being discipled. So I kind of had to do it. So I lost everything, kind of by accident. And then I thought, you know, I got this really good job. I'm making lots of money. I'm single, and things are going really good. So I think I'll quit. I didn't know what, because nobody told me any different. I thought, well, the Bible says you have to forsake all. So I quit my job, and I moved into the church. I don't suggest doing this. But I didn't know any better. I just thought, well, if the Bible says you have to forsake everything, then you've got to forsake everything. Because I wanted to be a disciple, but I had nobody to disciple me. I had nobody I didn't know what that meant exactly. But all I knew is it meant that Jesus, you know, has my life now, and I got it, you know, and something's going to happen. But anyway, I read these scriptures. But let's turn to Matthew 14. I mean, Luke 14, I'm sorry. Luke 14. Because it's a really, really good scripture. It says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You have to forsake all. All. That means all your possessions, all your relatives. Paul said, if you're married, be as if you're not married. Doesn't mean you leave your wife or your husband. That's not what it means. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean that. Some of you were hoping that maybe. I don't know. But what I was going to tell you before was that because I gave up all that stupidly, not knowing what I was doing, God did that for me. He gave me back everything I gave up, plus 100 times more. Well, my wife Leah is a good example. She was as far as me, she was the top of the top. I couldn't find anybody better than Leah. So as soon as I met her, I said, that's who I'm going to marry. Because she was the best one, and she was the best. Yeah. She's the best I've ever knew. She was the best I went to a really large church. She was the best. So I said, I think I'll marry her because she loves Jesus, and she's kind of pretty, and I think I could make this thing work. So I asked God, and God said, okay, that's your wife. I said, okay, so there's no problem. So it all worked out just the way God said it would. And then everything else, he gave me friends. He gave me back my family. My family now love me. They think I'm awesome. Or before they thought I was in, remember, they thought I was in a cult. Now they're, you know, hey, I need to ask Danny for prayer or whatever the thing is. So now they're not so, you know, they see my life and they say, wow, look at our lives. Our lives are completely messed up. And his life is not that bad. He seems to be happy. His kids seem to be doing good. And I don't know how he does that. My brother's always jealous because he has four sons and they're all like in their 30s now or whatever. He didn't have any grandchildren. And I got like grandchildren coming, you know, just coming like, it seems every 6 months we got a grandkid. So we got a lot. And I'm like way ahead of him now. And he's not going to catch up. I know he won't. No. Because God is good. See how God blesses you? And all you got to do is lose your life. It's that simple. But some of you are afraid to do it because, gosh, if I do that, man, I don't know. What am I going to get? Just like the disciples asked, well, what are we going to get? What's God going to do if I give up all my relationships? It doesn't mean you give them up like you don't ever talk to the people or whatever. It just means no, there's no other God. Because people are idols. Because we're just full of idolatry. Possessions, stuff we own, people. And those things cause us to stumble. Because there's only one thing you need, and that's to know Jesus and keep your eyes on him all the time. And then everything else works out. Then he gives you everything else for free. In Romans chapter 8, it says that. It says, God will freely give you all things. If he gave you Jesus, if he died for you, if he gave you him, the God himself, how much will he freely give you all things? So you have all things. So you have to ever worry. My God shall supply all my needs. So you have no worries about emotional worries, people liking you or not liking you. You don't have to think about stuff like that. Because what does that to do with anything? Jesus loves you. He likes you. And you don't have to work at it. It's very peaceful. And you're never nervous. You don't have to be nervous or stressed out because of your situations or anything like that. Because God will take care of you. But you have to lose your life. Nah, that's nothing. Your life is a waste anyway. I'm sorry to tell you that. But all of our lives are. My life, apart from Jesus, is a total waste of time. Whatever I do, the best that I can do without Jesus is vanity. So that pretty sums up the whole world. Everything they do, say, think, all the parties they go to, all the relationships they have, all the divorces they have, all of this, all the things they do, is all vanity. All psychology, all philosophy, all those things. When I was in college, I took a lot of psychology class because I was in criminal justice. And I took a lot of classes in psychology. Probably half my classes were that. And even then, I wasn't even a Christian. I was just a kind of a, I don't know what I was, just a plain old sinner, I guess. But I didn't, I never bought into that stuff. I thought, how stupid. Like, I had a class on Freud, and it was about the id, the ego, and the superego, and all. I thought, how stupid. That is so dumb. How do you even, I mean, I knew right away that it wasn't black and white, that it wasn't real science. It's just some guy's opinion. And then another guy had a totally different opinion. Then another guy had this philosophy. Then you had the Dr. Spock with the I'm okay, you're okay, which my mom read, which was great for us kids. Because my mom never disciplined us until she got really mad. Then she did. But it had to be to the where she was boiling over, you know, kind of correction. When she got mad, and she chased my brother around with a broom, and it was pretty amazing. But my dad wasn't like that at all. When he came home from work, he would just take his belt off, and I was afraid. We were all afraid of him. You know, Dad's coming home. And Mom's going to tell him we broke all these windows and whatever we did. And then we're going to get a whooping. So that was good. My dad was good. He did a good job. He put the fear of God in us. My mom, not so much. Because she read Dr. Spock, and she tried to be nice to us. And she still is, but she's 91 now. So anyway, those kind of things don't work out. The only thing, to be a disciple, you lose your life. And you have to count everything in your life dung, except for, you know, of course, Jesus. And everything that you need is in the Word. Everything you need is in your prayer life. Everything you need is in Jesus Christ. He has everything you need. Everything. He has all the provision you need for this. Because if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then He adds all that to you. Friends, family. But you got to give it all up first. So it doesn't have you, capture you. It doesn't have because when you love somebody, let's say a family member or something, then after a while, if they're meeting all your emotional needs, and I see this a lot in people, the mother is, you know, meeting all the needs of the daughter and the dad, whatever. They're all just meeting all each other's needs. They think they are, but they're just idolatrous, and it leads to all kinds of evil, all kinds. I'm telling you, all kinds of evil. You got to give all that up. When I left my family to marry Leah, I left my family. When Leah left her family, she left. That was over. No more are they connected in that sense. I mean, you know what I mean. They still loved each other and all that, but we were a whole new family. And I was the head of the house, and Leah was my wife, and we had Mathen, and we had other kids, and we were a whole new entity under God. Under God. So your family, don't let them do that to you. Don't let them control your life. Don't let them be. I don't even let my wife control my life. I already have a God, and she doesn't. And I don't control her life either, in a sense, because I'm not her God. If we have a discussion, then I have to go. Like last night, we had an argument. But we had a different doctrinal stance on something, so I have to go to Jesus and ask Him, because I know that God will immediately say that I'm right and she's wrong. So it's awesome. Every time. No, I'm just kidding. Not every time. But you know, I mean, that's what it is. You just got to go to God. You can't let people dictate, tell you who you are, tell you what's going on and all that. You got to let God do that. Now, sometimes people are right, but that's okay. That's from God. If it's from God, it's from God. But you always got to go to Jesus, because He's your Lord. He's the one that's discipling you. Only reason why we have Pastor Jim, the only reason why we have evangelists and apostles and prophets is to edify and build the church up, to disciple you so that you can grow, so you can know Jesus. That's the only reason. There is no other reason. It's not so you become wonderful and awesome and, you know, become some kind of great person or something like that. No, it's just so you can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. So you know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, and you love not your life even unto death. Right? That's how you overcome. That's how you overcome this world. You can't overcome the world by being a part of the world. You're not part of this world. You are not of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of it. There's nothing in this world you need apart from Jesus. Jesus has everything you need. All the pleasure, like we were talking, I think Jim was talking the other day about pleasure. Your life, that's how most people's lives are. It's just, if I could just get through life without suffering so much. And I think that too. I think, man, I don't mind dying at all. I tell you all the time, man, I can go anytime. It doesn't matter to me. But I just don't want it to hurt. If I could die without it hurting, it would be awesome. But I know it's going to hurt. Probably it's going to hurt pretty bad. It's going to, oh. Like, I just want to die instantly. No, I don't really think about that. But I just joke about that sometimes. But it's, but God, but we suffer anyway. If you go for, like Jim said, if you go for pleasure in this life, then you'll just find, you'll find heartache and suffering. If you go for death in Jesus, then you find life. Because you lost your life. But you have to lose your life. And I don't know all, I know a lot of what that means, but not everything. But I know when I got saved, until this day, I knew I was that my life was over. Whatever aspirations I had of being great and wonderful, whatever aspirations I had of being, even the negative, of being a drunk or being whatever I was going to be, which that was probably where I was headed, but being all that, I had to die to all that. I gave all that to Jesus. Jesus, here's my life. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but it's pitiful. My life is pitiful, but I'll give it to you anyway. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, it talks about wisdom. It talks about how not many wise in this world are called, not many noble, not many awesome people are called. But God has chosen the weak. God has chosen the base things of this world to confound the wise. Because the wisdom of this world to God, it's foolishness. So the best wisdom the world has is just foolishness. That's the best they got. That's why psychology and philosophy and the New World Order and all their morality and all their stuff, it's foolishness. It's just laughable. Because God has a better plan. You die, he lives. There's not seven ways to a better you or something like that. There is no better you. You have no better you. The better you is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you have one better you, Jesus, right? You have no better you. I will never, as a matter of fact, this outward man's perishing. I mean, I've started going to church here, over 20 years ago. Mathen was just a baby. And since then, I've gotten a lot older. And I noticed that my body's wearing out. Yesterday, I was working downtown Fort Worth hanging blinds, and I was carrying these blinds. They were like 6 foot by 83 inches. They were heavy. I could only carry three of them at a time. But I had to go up this big step like that, because they hadn't put steps in yet. So I was, oh man, I had to kneel down. Anyway, it was bad. Because when I was young, I could have just jumped up there and da-da-da-da, you know, did it. But, you know, I couldn't do that anymore. I had to do it, take it easy, because I don't want to blow my knee out or something, but because I'm old. So your outward man is perishing. Your inward man, you can't see it, is being renewed day by day. And all you're doing is you're reading your Bible, you're spending time with Jesus, you're praying, you're asking God, and he just gives you a gift. And every day I go over the same, every day you go over the same thing. Every day. Because you forget. You forget from the night before, you forget the day before. Because every day is a new day, right? Every day is a new beginning. All you have is today, right now, this moment. And that's all you got. Because your future is, and your past is already past. It's all forgiven. No matter what you did, you don't have to feel guilty. No condemnation. Your past is completely forgiven. I was reading Psalms 103, and I love that psalm because it talks about the benefits. You want some benefits? You know, when you get insurance or something, you read all the benefits. There's a little page that comes, but bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is for me. Bless his holy name. And then he has all these benefits listed for you. He heals all my diseases. He forgives me all my iniquity. All. So that gets rid of all guilt. It gets rid of all fear. And you don't even have to even make up for it. There's nothing you can do to make up for your sin. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I mean nothing. Everybody say nothing. So nothing. You can't do anything. You can't owe God. You can't owe somebody. You just can't do it. Because the law makes nothing perfect. The law, in Galatians, said if there's a law that could have brought righteousness, then verily righteousness would have been by law. If you could have kept one law, one, just one. I don't commit adultery, whatever. If you could have kept one law, then righteousness would have been by law, because you could do it then. It's the opposite of what it says about if you offend in one point, just one break, one little itty-bitty thing in the law, then you've broken the whole thing. But it's the same way. If you could have kept one law, one, just one, thou shalt not kill or whatever, or love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, if you could have kept that, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come, because then it would have been possible. If you can keep one law, you can keep another one. I mean, you could have done it. But now you didn't even do one. We didn't even do one, not even one. That's funny to me. I just think, oh my gosh, not even one law. I didn't even keep one. I broke every single law. And you did too. So it puts us all in the same boat. That we need, that we desperately need a Savior. We desperately need a disciple to follow Christ, Jesus, and to be his disciple. Jesus said, you want to be my disciple? You have to give up everything and come follow me. So, I mean, everything means everything. That means everything. You have to give up everything. And you can do it. All you do is decide. I trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust Jesus and just go ahead and do that and see what happens. Because what are you going to do if you don't do that? There's nothing else for you. Especially being a Christian. You have no other option. That's the way God does. He kind of gets you to a place like he did all the prophets, King David. He kind of puts you in the back of a corner and you have no other options. It's scary. You're like, well, I guess I got to trust the Lord now because I have no other options. Have you ever noticed that about life? I have in my life, is that I always come down to, gosh, you know, comes down to Jesus again because I have no other options, right? And you don't. I'm telling you, you don't have another option. No, there's not one. There's only one option, and it's Jesus. I tell my kids, I go, wait, you're in Sunday school or you're at school or something, and they ask you a question, you don't know the answer, just say Jesus. My dad told me to say just Jesus. What's 2 + 2? Jesus. But the Bible is very clear about this. About if you want to be a disciple, you lose your life. But it is dramatic. It's violent, as a matter of fact. But you gain so much more. Families, mothers and fathers. I mean, Jesus said this to Peter. He said, you're going to get all that. Plus, you get to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Plus, you get this and you get that. Plus, you get 100-fold. Whatever the thing you gave up, you get 100-fold. I mean, look at Job. Job lost everything. Everything. His health, his family. I wonder why he never got rid of his wife. Okay. But anyway, he lost everything except for his wife, right? Never lost his wife. Well, kind of did, because she said, curse God and die. But anyway, he lost everything. But in the end, he got way more than you could even ask or think. And I don't understand, I'm not claiming that I understand that story totally, but I know one thing. If you lose your life, you will get eternal life, plus way more than what you've given up. what you give up is nothing. You're just giving up. What you're actually doing, like Paul said in Philippians, you're just basically giving up dung. So you're giving God all your dung, and he's giving you eternal life. Here, God, have all my garbage, and you give me all your good stuff. I mean, how could it get any better? It's a good exchange. It's very good. So I'm giving God all my bitterness, all my hatred. I'm giving him all my stuff that I love. I just give everything to him, and it's just a bunch of garbage. And then I get back eternal life. I'm going to, you know, when Jesus comes back, we'll be ruling in the heavens and all that stuff. We get a lot. You get everything. With Jesus Christ, you freely get all things. Now I've already got way more than I could even ask or think. Way more. When I got saved, I had no idea. I had no idea what I would get. Peace of mind. Whew. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. No condemnation. Guilt. Oh my gosh. When you're a Catholic, you live in guilt. That's how they keep you going. You're always guilty, you know, so they got you. I'm guilty. I better go to Mass. So I got rid of all my guilt, all my fears, all my, you know, fear of the future, fear that I'm not going to make it. You know, I had tons of fears. When you're in this world, you are afraid. You are guilty, and you're not going to make it. If you're a Christian, it's the same thing. You have to be a disciple. You have to lose your life. That's what Jesus is after. He goes, he wants to make you a disciple, not just a Christian, not just somebody who comes to church now and then to hear Pastor Jim or whoever preach. He wants you to be a disciple. And you can do it. You just got to show up. And then you have to read your Bible, pray, ask Jesus what to do. And he will lead you and guide you into all truth. And you'll be set free. The truth will set you free. And you'll be free from the law. You'll be free from the devil. You'll be free from your flesh. Even though not perfect. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. But in Jesus you are. Jesus is perfect. And he lives in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So Jesus is everything. The Holy Spirit leads and guides you. If you're led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is led by the Spirit. A disciple loves. A disciple has fruit of the Spirit coming out of his life. Not constantly and always, because nothing's perfect. We still sin. We still do stupid things, and we still forsake the Lord. And I don't even know what you guys all think about sin, but I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, I cannot make it a day, an hour, a second without Jesus. Because I forget so quickly. You know, I could be studying for the message, or, you know, really praying and being really super holy, and then, you know, then my wife says something or somebody says something, and it's, you know, I'm all messed up already. I'm not even trying, though. I'm not trying. That's one thing you don't want to do. You don't want to try. You just want to do. Don't try, do. Don't try. Well, I'm trying my best. No, you're not. Nobody's trying their best. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. Even though you make plans, even though you do things, you have to give it to the Lord. I love what Obo always says. He always goes, well, if I'm going to go down to such and such a city or do this or do that, if the Lord wills. And then he always says, to God be the glory. And that's our life. To God be the glory. Yep. Those that boast in the Lord. Those that are, God has done anything for you or has done anything, then you just boast in the Lord. Anything you do that's good, boast in the Lord. Because it's just the Lord. It's not you. You can do nothing without him. With him, you can do all things. He does use you because you're a vessel. You're a conduit of his fruit. You're like a branch. And that branch, you know, has fruit hanging on it. love, joy, peace, meekness, goodness, temperance, self-control, faithfulness, gentleness. All those fruits of the Spirit are coming out of you, but it's actually Jesus, because he's the root. He's the stock. He's the foundation. He's everything. And all that root, all that stuff is coming out from Jesus. It's not coming out from you like you did something or anything like that. So all glory, all the honor, and all the praise go to God. Paul said that all the time. He talks about the Holy Spirit working in it. He goes, the gospel, he said, I preach the gospel, and it's working in me mightily through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. God himself, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is doing all the work. So Paul learned that. He had, as a matter of fact, Paul, and I don't know all the theology about it, but he had a thorn in his flesh so that he wouldn't be lifted up in pride because of his many revelations. Paul knew a lot. He had a lot of revelation, a lot of revelation. I was wondering if Martin Luther had a thorn in the flesh, but I just wondered that. Because when you do, when you hear God, when you begin to grow and stuff, sometimes you can be lifted up, like King Uzziah. Look at all the wonderful things God did for that man. He was a king, and Israel, they loved him. He was loved. But he got lifted up in pride. Thought he was awesome. He wasn't boasting in the Lord anymore. He was boasting in himself. Well, look at all the armies I have. I conquered so and so, and I got this, and I got that, and I got all this wonderful stuff. I've actually seen that before in people that have a lot of money, that are rich, how they boast in all their possessions and their lands, and look what I did. I worked hard for this, and da 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 da. Had you ever seen that movie? I forgot what it's called. It's an old one with Jimmy Stewart, but he's praying. He goes, Lord, we tilled the fields. We did all, he just named all this hard work they did, and he goes, but we thank you anyway. Because he felt like he had to, but he actually did all the work. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. Best way we think about God, we think, oh, I did all the work. I did all the hard stuff, and God just, if he could just help me out a little bit, maybe I can make it. No, he has to totally take control of your life. Totally. Because you're not going to make it without him. And I don't know, like Jim says, I don't know about the lukewarm, about the parable of the 10 virgins, you know. They didn't have any oil. I don't know what all that means exactly, but all I want to know is one thing. We need to pursue God. Keep our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's started it, and he'll finish it. He began a good work in you, born again, and he'll do it till the day of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. I press towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus. It's a high calling. Everybody in this room has been called with the high calling. High calling. High. Higher than you know. I mean, it's not going to be like when you get to heaven, you're not going to be some second-class citizen and just kind of be a doorkeeper or whatever that song says. You're going to be awesome. Because you'll be just like Jesus. Because he's awesome. And you'll be just like him. Just like him. Because you'll see him as he is. And you'll be just like him. You won't be him, but you'll be exactly like him. And all the glory and the honor and praise will go to him. But you might as well get a head start, kind of a head start thing going on here with discipleship. Because it's actually what God wants. Chair 4, 5, and 6. Chair 5 is discipleship. That's what he's talking about. That's where you lose your life. It's kind of a bummer, but people think that. But it's really not. It's actually a joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because what is your life? What is your life? It's just a pfft. It's a nothing. It's nothing. You're here for what? 70, 80, 90 years, whatever. 100 if you're really blessed. That's even 100. Even if you live to be 100, even if you live to be 200, that's still a short time compared to eternity, for sure, but compared to even this earth since the creation. This is a very short time. I can't believe I'm 60 already. I can't believe that my life, I'm on the backside of, you know, I'm not even middle-aged anymore. I'm past middle-aged. I can't believe it. It went so fast. I'm just a teenager like yesterday. know, playing basketball and hanging out with my friends, and all of a sudden I'm 60, and I'm like, oh my gosh. But anyway, the only thing in my life, I can't hardly remember my previous life. I've been Christian now for 35 years. I can't even remember that life anymore. I can remember events and stuff like that. I just can't remember. I am so blessed. I'm telling you, when you are not a Christian and you live in this world, you are tormented day and night. So if you know people that are not Christians, they're afraid. There's a lot of fear in this world. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of, you know, stuff you have to do. If you don't do it perfect, you are done. You know, the world is cruel. It treats you like it'll just chew you up and spit you out. And I know that because I lived in the world. I know exactly what it's like. It's a dog eat dog. It's like Jim says, it's like the mafia. I had Larry, you know, Larry Comerford, when he was in college, he had a fight with this guy and threw him through a window, and the guy got all cut up, so they threw him into jail, Larry. And then the Irish Mafia, which was all these guys we knew that lived in this house, they were all Irish Mafia, that lived there on campus. They didn't really go to school. I don't know what they did. They didn't go to school, but they were there. They were probably getting recruits or something. I don't know what they were doing. But I remember they told Larry, they go, because they liked Larry. Larry was a friend of his because he was Irish. And this was all Irish Mafia. And they said, you got to do something, because that might have been the reason why he came down to Texas with me. Because they had a hit out after him, because they were going to do something to him because he hurt this guy who was a part of their group. And that's the way gangs work. That's the way the world works, as a matter of fact. You hurt me, I'll hurt you even worse. You do this, I'll do that. You did, you know, it's all dog eat dog. And that's just the way the world works. So there's no nice politicians or nice, you know, anything out there. It's all that way. Even if people are nice, they act like they're nice, they're not nice. People are out for themselves. And that's it. That's just all the flesh is just self, 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 self. But we have a different life. We've exchanged that life for a whole new life. And that life is in Christ Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what does God want? He wants us to be born again. Chair 4. Chair 5. He wants you to be discipled. Come lose your life. Come lose your life. Your life is not that great anyway. The life you created for yourself is not that great. I'm just telling you, it's not that great. How do I know that? Because I did the same thing. You create this whole life for yourself, and you think, you know, it's not that interesting. I think I need to exchange this life for a whole new life. But some people never do. Some Christians live their whole life, and they are never discipled. They never lose their life because their life is awesome. And that's what people think. My life is awesome. I got money. I got lands. I got this. I got that. But then if you look close, they don't have anything. They got nothing. I worked for two people just over my career. I worked for the family here in Fort Worth. They're the richest family in Texas, I think. And then I worked for a rich family in Dallas on the ranch out in East Texas. And they were never, ever, ever happy. Never. I remember the family I worked for here in Fort Worth, I was a bodyguard, so I'd follow them to ballet and I did all kinds of stuff. But I also was at their house, at their residence. That's actually where I got saved. But when they would come home, they were mean. They were mean to the employees. They were mean to all their servants. They had lots of servants. They had two chefs that came in. They hired these two people from this college. They were horticulturists, and they had their property was, it was gorgeous. It was pretty awesome. But they were so miserable. They were drunk all the time. And anyway, but here I just got saved, and they had all these rules about not waving. You had to sit there like this when they drove up, and you couldn't talk to them or anything like that. But when I got saved, I forgot all those rules. I don't know if I forgot them or what, but I was like, hey! And I was putting tracks in their, you know, BMWs and their Rolls Royces, and I didn't know any better. But that was because I was in love. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I thought, man, if God could save me, he could probably. I just thought, here's what I remember I told you the story, but I thought when I got saved, this is how stupid I was. I just thought people just didn't know. I thought, you know, I accepted this thing, and that Jesus just forgave me for everything. I couldn't believe it. And then I would tell people, and they didn't weren't that interested in it. I remember I was witnessing to one of the maids, and she was just looking at me like I was crazy. I was going, I mean, it was probably the next day after I got saved. I was like, wow, let me tell you this story. Let me tell you about this Jesus. Da, 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 da. And she was looking at me like, man, you're crazy. So I was disillusioned right off the bat. I thought, well, maybe it's just, you know, people don't want it for some reason, whatever. But I don't know why people don't want it. I still, to this day, I'm amazed that people don't want eternal life. They don't want to be discipled. They don't want to grow. They don't want to be disciples. They don't want to be glorified in the Lord. You know why? Because you're weird. Your own family, everybody thinks you're weird when you want that. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then people will look at you like, some people will look at you like you are crazy and they despise you. Others, you know, they think it's great. Those are the ones that are probably doing the same thing. The Bible says to one group, you're a sweet smell, sweet aroma, and to other, you're like the smell of death unto death. Isn't that true? Yeah. It is so true. Some people think, like, I mean, even my own brother, he despises me, but that's because I smell to him like death, because I'm, you know, happy all the time, and I got lots of grandchildren, all the things that they want, but that's just the way it is. So the message today is, don't be afraid to be a disciple. It's only going to cost you one thing. It only cost your life. That's it. And your life is nothing. Like I said, you're exchanging trash for eternal life. You're exchanging dung for eternal things. What you see in this world, and I can guarantee it in my life, because I worked around those people all my life, I have no envy. I don't even care what I drive. I don't care what kind of house I live in. Well, to an extent, I don't want, you know, my wife has to ask nice things, but I don't really need it. When I was single, after I got saved, I had nothing. I had a pickup truck, and everything I owned, just a tiny one, one of those little Toyotas, and everything I owned could fit in the back of that pickup truck. Everything. I think I had a basketball, a bicycle, and a bed. That's all I need. That's all I needed. And I even gave my bike away, so I had a basketball and a bed, because I really liked playing basketball. I couldn't give that up until later on I did. But isn't that neat? I mean, you can live. It's amazing how you can live in this world and you don't even need a lot of stuff. All you really need is the Lord, Jesus. Because with him, you freely get all things. And you know what? He doesn't add any sorrow to it. Isn't that awesome? Those rich people I tell you I was working for, especially the ones out in social media, they worked like dogs. They had security cameras. They had, you know, they just worked to keep their stuff. And then they gathered more. And they filled the whole stables. These stables were huge. These horse stables was full of stuff. I mean, stuff. There was like couches and expensive rugs, and it was full. It was just sitting there in a barn or in the stables. Then they had another barn that was full. Then they had another barn, and that was full. It's just like that parable Jesus told about the guy that, you know, got more stuff, so they had to build another barn and keep building and building and building. And, you know, then at the end, you know, it's all nothing. It just gets burned up. So nothing in this world has your life or my life. No car, no person, no daughter, no son, no wife, no grandparent, no mother and father. No one has our life. It's between me and Jesus. Even Jim and David, you know, they discipled me, but that I'm not, they're not my God. I mean, Jim doesn't follow me around and tell me everything to do or pay all my bills or something. He can't do that. He can just tell me what the Lord's, but, you know, I can just hear what the Lord's saying, and that's good enough. All I need to do is hear it. That's all I need. Faith comes by hearing. All I need to do is hear it. What's the word of the Lord today, Jim? Blah, 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 blah. Okay. I think I heard that this morning, or I read that somewhere in the Bible. I think that's true. So then I have to go, then I go to Jesus, because he's the one that's really discipling me. And then I ask him, well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So when Jim talks, like last night, yesterday I think we talked on the phone about something. And he goes, I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. I said, man, that's a good word. That's me too. I'm just keeping my eyes on Jesus. I'm not worried about anything else. I'm not worried about whether I don't feel good or I'm sick or I have any kind of problems or anything like that. I have tons of problems, but who cares? I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. He promised. And what he's promised, he is able to perform. You know, you can't perform one promise from God. Not one. Not one. Only God can perform his promises. What he promised, he is able to do. Right? And everything in the Bible, you know, is a promise. It has to be. Otherwise, it would be, you'd have to do it. Like even the law. The Ten Commandments. The law. If I had to do it, it would be a law. That would be difficult. Then there would be a punishment. There would be something tied to it, a force to it. But God's not like that. So he just made it. He goes, I think I'll just make that a promise because I don't think you're going to be able to do that. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. I don't think Walter's going to be able to do that. So I'm just going to have to make that a promise and do that for him. That's how God works. Love this, do this, take care of your parents. You know, all these things the Bible commands us to do. You just got to do it by faith and know that God's doing it and you're not doing it. Because if you did it, it would turn out awful. If he did it, then it's going to be perfect because God does perfect work. Right? So anyway, God is good and he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. But don't be afraid to be a disciple. Don't be afraid to look at your sin. Don't be afraid to see things as they really are. Because it's more glorious than you can imagine. Not you. All you got is dung. You're a dung person. All you're doing is producing dung and filthy rags and stuff like that. But God, on the other hand, just give all that to him. Come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So if you come boldly to the throne, then you can tell God anything. God knows it anyway. It's just good for you to confess. It's good for you to get all that garbage out on the table and say, God, Jesus, here's all my sin. Here's all my dung. I don't know what you can do with it, but here it is. And then Jesus said, oh, that's good. I want that. It's all there. It's all on the cross. It's all covered by the blood. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Now what do I get? Now you get eternal life. You get to be discipled. You get to lose your life. You know, and at first you're like, what? What? I thought, Jesus, you were going to improve my flesh. But he said, no, your flesh is going to, you're going to have to die. You have to lose your life. All right. And you do it, and you're blessed. Man, you are blessed. Because your life is not that interesting. It's only interesting to you. It's not interesting to anybody else. My wife's not even interested in my life. No one's interested in your dung. They got enough dung themselves. They're not interested in your dung. Look at my pile of dung. Well, look at my pile of dung. So your dung is not that interesting. Your rags. Your filthy rags are not that interesting. To you, they are. I mean, because you got them and you're loving it. You're like a dung beetle. You're rolling it around with you. You're striving all, you're suffering all the time. And you could just give all that to Jesus, exchange for his life. He said, my burden is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. But we don't want that. We would rather work hard and be good. All right? So just let yourself just go to Jesus and say, Jesus, no matter what it takes, no matter what it takes, I want to be one of yours. I want to be a disciple. I want to be one of the wise virgins. I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be hot. I want to be a disciple. I want to grow. I want to grow until Jesus comes back. I don't want to stop. I want to reach towards that high mark, the high calling. So you would rather have a high calling than dung. That's way better than being a dung collector. So that's your life. That's the only life you got. So just give it to Jesus and die. Come die with me. That song, come die with me. No, I said fly with me, but it's die with me. That's how Jim says it. When Jim disciples us, he says, come die with me. I'm not gonna let you live. I'm gonna make sure your flesh is dead. All right? Amen. So today's lesson is be a disciple. Yeah. Don't just be a Christian, be a disciple. Christians are almost worthless in this life. Disciples are not. If you grow like Paul, look at all the stuff Paul did. And he was a huge dung collector. He even said he was. His whole life was dung. And look what he did. Because God did it. And all he did was get knocked off his horse. Basically, that's all he did. He fell off his horse. How easy was that? Right? So don't be afraid to do that with God. Don't worry about people. Just let God be God. And he'll do everything. You just exchange your life. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Father, that you have called us with a high, high, high calling. And Lord, that we choose by act of our will just to accept the fact that you want us to be discipled and to grow and to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just saved, but we want to be lorded over. We want Jesus to be Lord of our lives so that we will be perfected in love, that our faith would be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would be able to do everything in this life you called us to do, which is a lot. You've called us to do a whole lot of stuff, but we can't do it. We have no ability, no juices, no wherewithal to do that, but you do. Through you, we can do all things, Father. We thank you for that. Thank you that you love us with a love, oh God, we can't even fathom how much your love, the depth, the height of your love. We just can't even imagine it, Lord God. The love that surpasses all knowledge. Wow, that's big. So Father, we thank you for loving us that much.
Yes.
So because you love us, you're not going to leave us the way we are. You're going to just continue to kill our flesh, to kill us off so that we can have a new life. I found a new life, and that life is in Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you that today we are blessed, and we're so thankful, Father, that you have given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. Lord, I pray that each one here would be godly, not because they're good, but because, God, you've got a hold of them. And we would, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would do good and eschew evil, that we would avoid it, and we would just do what God tells us to do, just by faith, because the just shall live by faith. Thank you, Father. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Okay, somebody sing a song.
Okay. David, where's David?
He's preaching.
Yeah. Oh, David did the worship, yeah. Yeah, he did good. I forgot to put these. I was going to put those up even. Okay. Wait, Jim's going to say a few words.
Actually, I want to give a testimony. You guys know my wife is, we're going to have a baby, and she freaks out about everything. And when I say freak out, that's putting it mildly. The devil is coming against her with all sorts of stuff, and she is afraid every day. And yesterday we were talking, and because I know I have a word from the Lord that this baby's perfect and it's going to be born, and I don't have any fear. The devil, every once in a while, he'll try to sneak in. I just tell him he's a liar. So yesterday she said, well, how do I know what's true and what's not? And I said, and right as I was saying this, the Lord spoke it to her, the exact same word. I said, if it doesn't line up with the word, it's a lie. And now she's starting to see it, and she's able to, I said, if something comes into your head and it doesn't line up with the word, it's a lie. And I think it's starting to, she may be able to actually enjoy herself.